the Yahrzeit of Harav Chaim Arbisov passed away in the beginning of the corona epidemic. So we dedicate the Shir Zecher Nishmasai. Rabbi Arbisov was one of the major forces, if not the major force, behind the founding of this Shir so many years ago on Tuesday nights. So we certainly dedicate the Shir Zecher Nishmasai. In Pesach night, we have it Hakadosh Chachamim, that we have our Bekaisis, and there's a major machlokes between Tosis and the Rambam regarding the nature of the din of our Bekaisis. Tosis' opinion is that it's merely four brachas al kos. The first kos, he recite Kiddush al Yayin. The second kos, he say Asher Gyalonu al Yayin, Go al Yisrael. Third kos is Birchas Hamazon al Yayin, and the fourth kos. Fourth course is Birchas Ashir, Alayayim. According to Tosfos, it's the same as Kiddush and Havdalah, Sheva Brachas. There's no need that each person should drink from his own course. We just need one person should say the Brach ala course, and everyone will be, I'd say, provided that Hamavar Tzach Sheitam, he has to have Te'ima. The Gemara has that din, Hamavar Tzach Sheitam, like Kiddush and Havdalah. The Gemara says, how much does he have to taste? So the Gemara says he has to drink Maloy Lugmav. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Arba Pesachim says you have to drink Rav Kos of each of the Arba Kosses. The Tosfos says it's not Miduyak, it's not accurate. You don't really have to drink Rav of the Kos, you just have to drink a Maloy Lugmav. The Ran is quoted in Shulchan Aruch that Maloy Lugmav is usually by an Adam Beinoni. That's equivalent to a Rav Revius, and a Kos is usually a Revius, so it's going to be a Rav Kos. But let's say you have a gigantic Kos, and you're going to say Kiddush Ala Kos. So the simple reading of the Gemara and the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is you have to drink Rav of that Kos. Revius is a minimum size. If you have less than Revius, so it's not called a Kos. If you have a Kos that contains 5 Revius, 10 Revius, so the Shulchan Aruch, the first opinion of Shulchan Aruch is you have to drink Rav of whatever that cost is, Rav of the 10 Revius, and you have to drink. So that's it's a thesis. The Maharam in Prague points out that the Rambam disagrees and holds that there are two din. There's one din that there were four brochas ala kos, and if that were the only din, then the Rambam would have agreed with thesis. However, the Rambam holds there's another din, namely, there is a din deraisa, learned that from a pasuk. Behold, Avodar Chai Bottom Liris is Tzatz Mekila Yatzma Mitzrayim. That's learned that from a pasuk. And that's a din deraisa. Everyone, that's a very difficult din to fulfill. Everyone should have the attitude as if we just left the Mitzrayim tonight. Il Hoti HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Seinu Mitzrayim Harayon Avonayin 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 Shabbatim Hayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim. We really don't have that attitude, because there were so many revolutions in the world, and the slaves were freed in South Africa and America, and Lincoln freed the slaves. So many different countries, the slaves were freed. So we don't have such a feeling. That's a difficult din d'oraisa to have such an attitude. Kilu hu yatza Mitzrayim. And with the Rabbanan, they instituted a din, b'chol davar d'archai v'adam l'haris atzma. He has to demonstrate. So what do you do to demonstrate that you are a Ben Chor? That's very easier, to demonstrate that you are a Ben Chor. So there are two parts to that mitzvah of the Rabbanan. One part is eat behes seva, because avodim are not given the option of relaxing when they eat behes seva. And secondly, that you have to drink arbekosis. Drink arbekosis to drink a toast to your freedom, elachayim. So the Rambam had the gears of the riff usually. Rambam, every so often there's a problematic Rambam, so if you look, that's what Chafetz Chaim writes like that, that if you look in the Rif, you'll see that was the Girsa Sarab. So the Rif had the Girsa in the Gemara that there are two Kiyumim in Arba Kaisis, not like Kaisis, it's only four Brachas Halakos. Mitam, four Brachas Halakos would be sufficient if the Imaha Haggadah would be moitzi everybody, he'll take a sip of the wine malay lugmav. But because in addition to the concept of bracha lakos, there's also an inyan of laharis kilo yatzam in Mitzrayim The Havis Derech Eres, to demonstrate that he's a Ben Chorin, that each person has to drink a whole kos. Lechatchila, the Mogen Avraham says, Lechatchila, you should drink a whole kos, you shouldn't be lying on Ruba Kukulai. And the B'dieved, if you drank Roiv of the kos, and Ruba Kukulai, so you ate it. But it wouldn't be enough to drink a Malay Lukma. Let's say it's a gigantic kos that contains five Revias in it. So the Pashto says you have to drink a Roiv of the kos. Revias is the minimum shear, but there's no maximum. As much as you have then, the Mechaber has V'yesh Omrim, there's another opinion that if you have a kos that's machzik five Revias, so it's considered as if there are five koses there. So if you drink one whole Revias, you drank a whole kos. That's the second sheet in the Mechaber. But the first sheet in the Mechaber is the minimum shear of Yayin is Revias, and if you have more than Revias, you have to drink a roiv of whatever volume the kos happens to be. I remember this is Yadua from the Brisker Rav has this. So when the Rav Velvela Soloveitchik passed away, so they printed in different newspapers, and so they printed different magazines, different stories about Rav Velvela. What a great Talmud Chacham he was. And Rav Soloveitchik said a beautiful aspid on that occasion. So In one of the publications, they wrote that when Rav Elvela was watching the way they were baking the matzahs in Yerushalayim, years after the Second World War was over, that's when he, while he was watching the matzahs being baked, he was thinking and learning, and he came up with this chiddush that the Rambam disagrees with Tosfos. So Rambam Rav Soloveitchik said that that's not when he came up with the chiddush. The chiddush was when, during the First World War, wine was not so available in Europe, and you have other rabbanim wrote tshuvas. I have at home the tshuvas, the Avnei Chayfer, the tshuvas for the Reisha Rav, Baron Levine, who was the Rav in Reisha. He was the Aguda representative in the Polish Parliament, and there was a period of 1 or 2 years where the Aguda joined the coalition government, and the Aguda was part of the ruling party in Poland. So the Reisha Rav has a tshuva about this. There wasn't enough wine during the First World War to have for everybody. So Rav Velvela and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav said Rav Velvela and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik together worked out this shaila. There was barely enough to have, let's say there's a family with five children, a husband and a wife, five children, you have seven people. So there's barely enough to have for the balabais, you should have a cup of wine and drink it. And the question is, the Rambam says, if wine is not available, then you should use Chamar Medina, just like for Havdalah. If wine is not available, you should use Chamar Medina. So the Shaila is, will you gain anything if the father of the household is going to be saying the four brachas ala kos over wine, he'll be drinking a rife kos of the kos that he has. Will you gain anything if the other members of the household will have Maloy Lugnav? So that's what they came up with, that they probably will not gain. Why? Because there are two dinim in Arba Kaisa. One is it's a Brocha Lakos. So if it's a Brocha Lakos, one person can say the Brocha and drink the wine and Maloy Lugnav, and everybody else will be Yotze. That's Shitas HaTaisus. And the second din is that Laharis and Satsman Kili Yatsman Sam, to demonstrate Derech Eres, so each person should drink. So if you drink orange juice, or you drink apple juice, or you drink coffee, a cup of coffee, whatever is a Chamar Medina, a tea, whatever you mechaber a guest with, that's only acceptable, that's good to be out to the idea of bracha lakos. But in order to demonstrate derech eres, you have to have dafka something that has alcoholic content to it. So if only one if there's only enough wine for one person, and that person is going to be drinking Roiv of that kais, you don't gain anything if everybody else is going to have Chamar Medina. You gain if wine is so not available, you don't even have one cup of wine. So then you say that because it's Chamar Medina. But if you're saying Chamar Medina, nobody has any wine, then no one's being yotze the mitzvah of cheres, laharis the kuhu kilu yotze mit ben charim. So if Rafan, you're not being yotze, you're just being yotze the inyan of brocha lakos. Yeah. It wasn't when they were baking the matzahs that Rav Elvela thought of this. This psak was worked out during the First World War. It's interesting. The Rishonim raise an issue: how come we don't recite the bracha in connection with the mitzvah fulfillment, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sipitzis Mitzrayim on Pesach night? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say over every so often when he would go through the Haggadah in class before Pesach, so he would say over from the Ma'aseh Nisim Haggadah, from the Nesivim. Nesivim put out a siddur, the Derech HaChaim siddur, which the Mishnah Berurah quotes on every other page, because the Derech HaChaim has a lot of Piskei Halacha, and he has the Ma'aseh Nisim Haggadah, he has his commentary. So this is one of the commentary he has in the Hakdama to the Ma'aseh Nisim Haggadah. The Rishonim raised a question: how come no bracha is recited over the mitzvah of Sipit Yes Mitzrayim? So the Nesiva suggests the following answer. There is a mitzvah to recite Kiddush every Shabbos in Yontif. There is a mitzvah to recite Brichas HaMozim. There is a mitzvah of the Rabbanan to recite the bracha Brichas HaNenin before you say HaMoitzi, before you say Shahakol over a cup of coffee. There is a mitzvah of the Rabbanan to recite the Brichas HaNenin. So how come we don't recite a Brichas HaMitzvah in advance of the Kiddush? Before we're about to recite Kiddush on Leil Shabbos and Leil Yontif, why don't we recite the bracha Shekiddushan v'nsos v'tzimano l'kadeshos ha-Shabbos? Or before you're about to say Birchas HaMozen, so why do you just say Hinei Nimuchan v'mezumen l'kayim mitzvos Birchas HaMozen? You should say Shekiddushan v'nsos v'tzimano l'baruch ha-Mozen. And before you say Shahakla, before you say Hamoitzi, before you say any Birchas HaNenin, you should say Birchas HaMitzvah, that you're about to recite the Birchas HaNenin. So the answer probably is that whenever the mitzvah itself is being fulfilled in the form of a bracha, Kiddush itself is a bracha, Birchas HaMozen is a bracha, Birchas HaNenin is a bracha. So before you're about to fulfill a mitzvah which is going to be fulfilled in the form of a bracha, then we'll never miss talking another bracha before you say a bracha. So not only, so the Nesiva suggests in his Haggadah, not only if the mitzvah that's going to be fulfilled is going to be in the form of a bracha, what if it's within the framework of brachas? Let's say the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim is being fulfilled within the framework of the four brachas alakos. You start with Kiddush alakos, then you have Asher Gialonim alakos, Brichas HaMozen alakos, Brichas HaShiv alakos. And in between the first and the second, that's when we insert the whole story of Sipit Yetzias Mitzrayim. So since the mitzvah is being fulfilled in the form, within the framework of the Seder, of Brachas, therefore there will never be a misaken in addition to that, the Brichas HaMitzvah. And that's this idea, Rav Soloveitchik, is to say, over from the Netziv. The Netziv has in his Chidushim on the Gemara Megillah, has a whole Omid Gemara Bameher Achta Yom, different Tanoim and Amorim who lived to a ripe old age. So the Talmidim asked him, in what schus, what midas chasidus did you fulfill that you attribute your longevity to that midas chasidus? So one of them said, I was a Kohen, and I was always careful to recite a bracha before I would duchen. So the Meiri raises a question, that's the din, what's the midas chasidus? You deserve a special credit, a special schus, to live in Arichas Yamim if you do something, Lifnei Mishum Asadin, some Midas Chasidus. But this Adin, Kol HaMitzvahs Kulam Avarach Aleim Ovel Asiyos, whenever you're about to fulfill a mitzvah, you're obligated to recite a bracha. He said, Asher Gershon HaBikdushos HaShalav Tzivon HaLvarach HaSam Yisol B'Yahavo. So isn't that a real din? So why does he deserve an Arichas Yamim? Because he's in fulfillment of a basic fundamental din. So the Netziv suggests maybe Mikra Adin. So the Meiri raises the question, gives a different answer. Meiri says, maybe what the Gemara meant was the following. Min HaTorah, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, the end of the third parak, Min HaRaisa, the Kohen is only obligated to duchen once a day, every day. And even though the Kohen is about to leave after the first minyan, he davens the first minyan, and in the second minyan, there is no Kohen. So all the people from the second minyan plead with the Kohen, please stay another half hour and you duchen by the second minyan. So the din is he's not obligated to, not obligated minatar, not even obligated to the rabbanim. It's purely voluntary, is that? And ein mitzvah v'yoseh, he's volunteering to recite the Yirech Hashem Yishmerecha, the Birchas Kohanim. And the Magen Avraham says, therefore, he quotes, there's the Machlokes Achrayim, whether he recites the bracha or not, Shekhet Hashanah B'Kedushos V'Shalar V'Tzivonu, the bracha Sami Sol Di'Avot, to duchen by Shachris, then to duchen again by Musaf, That's what it says in the Mishnah. They would do chamashach with ducha matmusaf. So the Karen Ara points out, Meikra din deraisa, the kohen is not obligated to duchen twice a day, even though it's a different tefillah, even though this is shachris, that's musaf. That's only with the rabbanim, that he's obligated to duchen a second time in the day. But to duchen not shachris and musaf, let's say by us, most shuls, they only duchen by musaf and yom tif. So let's say one shul in Breyers, they used to have 35 kohanim standing on the bima to duchen, and the Aguda shul didn't have any kohanim. So they would request of one of the kohanim who were already duchen by shachris, please come to us for musaf and duchen by us, because like this, we're not going to have any kohen at all. So the kohen is not obligated to duchen, not benatar, not midrabban. It's a different minyan. And the same minyan, if you duchen shachris and musaf, that's a takanas chacham. So you say v'tzivon. But if he's going to volunteer as an enem, it's simply yes, maybe you can say v'tzivon. Maybe women who volunteer to fulfill a mitzvah, says the Shazman Grama, women shake a lulav, but they listen to tkiyas shayfer. They're not mechayev, it's enem, it's simply yes. So they're volunteering to do a mitzvah that the men are mechayev to do. But over here, the kohen is volunteering to do a mitzvah that no one is mechayev. No one is mechayev to duchen a second time for a second minyan on the same day. So that's a machlekes achrenim. So that's what the Netziv says. Since the duchening is, the din is, the duchening has to be fulfilled within the framework of Chazaras Hashatz. So since the mitzvah of duchening is being fulfilled within the framework of a series of brachas, middle of the Shmona Esrei, the middle of on Yontif, it's not Shmona Esrei. We have a practice, we only duchen on Yontif. So on Yontif, you only say the seven brachas. You don't have 18 or 19 brachas. You only have the Gimel Rishonim, the Gimel Achronis, and the Brach Emtzois of the Kedusha Sayyid. So since Duchening is being fulfilled within the framework of the brachas of the Amidah, so that's why no Brichas HaMitzvah is required. So why did Itaka say a bracha? So then the question begs itself, that Tana, what was he volunteering to say a bracha? So that's what the Netziv quotes from a Zohar, if I'm not mistaken. I think the Netziv quotes, or others quote, they quote in Hilchas Erev Yom Kippur, the meaning is even those people that don't give a bracha to their children every Leil Shabbos, but Erev Yom Kippur, that's a more universal meaning to give a bracha, Brichas Habonim, printed in the Machzor. So it says in the Achrayim that before you're about to give a bracha to the children, you should say bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bracha Hashem Le'olam, Amen, Amen. You should recite a pasuk that has a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's not derech eretz. It's not derech eretz to give a bracha to a bas of Adam without first saying a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what this amara, this was his midas chasidus. He said, Baruch Hashem Kedushan Masalasim Tzivanu. He didn't recite it b'toras brichas hamitzah. Recited it b'toras habracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because as you're about to give a bracha to a boss of Adam, it's not our heretz to give the bracha without first reciting a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this is what the Netziv writes in his Mirei Mesodet, in the Shurim that he gave in Valojin, on that Gemara Megillah. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to add on the Rabbeinu Yoina on the first page of the Rif on Brochas, the Besam and Aleph, that the Rabbeinu Yoina quotes from the Rav Haigoin. If you daven my Rif before Tzeis HaKachovim, so you have to repeat the Parshas of Shema later on, Balayla, according to the Mishnah. Mishnah says the earliest time to recite my Rif is Mishra Shakan Nachnasam Lechol B'chum Masam Tzeis HaKachovim. So what if you dove Ma'ariv earlier? So Ma'ariv is in place because it's already after Laila. When the Zman Mincha is up, that's when the Zman Ma'ariv begins. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Zman Mincha is up at Plaga Mincha. So after Plaga Mincha, even though the sun is still shining, you can dove Ma'ariv. According to the Chachamim, you can't dove Mincha after the Shkia. That's the Rabbeinu Yonah has that on the first Mishnah in Perek Tfilas HaShachar. That you can only daven mincha, the zmanim of tefillahs correspond to the zman of hakrobes, hakarbonis, the various karbonis. So you can only be makro karbonis Bayom. It can't be Makil Karbanas Balayla. That's the pasuk in this week's Sedra in Parshas Tzav. That it says Biyom Tzavos Alahakrav is Karbanayim. All Karbanas you have to be offered Bayom and not Balayla. And even though the Rabbi Natam holds that the first 50 minutes after the Shkia is Vadayom, and the Ben Hashmashes begins the next 18 minutes or so, the next 15, 18 minutes after the first 50 minutes. First 50 minutes is pitch black outside, and the Ben Hatam claims that it's Vadayom. And then begins Ben Hashmashes, and then it's Tzeisach Kachavim. So even though it's Vadayom, the first 50 minutes after the Shkia, it's Vadayom, because not even Ben Hashmashes yet. But you can't be makrav carbon tomash abeir abayim then, because it's damdivs of the shkia sachama. That's the gemara zvachem daf nun vav. So that's what the Rabbeinu Yoni writes on the first daf in brachas in perik tefilas hashachar. B'toras vada, not b'toras sofik. It's vadayom. It's not even beir hashmashes yet. But b'toras vada, you can't be makrav tomash abeir abayim. So therefore, you can't daven mincha then after the shkia. So the Rabbeinu Yoni quotes Rav Haggad. If you daven Ma'ariv b'zman, you daven after Tzeisach Kachavim, then you be yotzei Kriya Shema. So there's no need to repeat Kriya Shema later. Only Kriya Shema mitosai. So you say Parsha Rishayim. But if you daven Ma'ariv before Tzeisach Kachavim, so then you have to repeat the two Parshias or the three Parshias. A discussion in the Rabbeinu Yoni there. How many Parshias you have to repeat? So then you have to say a Brocha. Before you say Kriya Shema, Shei Kedushanu B'mitzvah Yisav V'tzivanu, the Kriya is Tashma. So Rabbeinu Yoni asks, so why does Rabbeinu Haggoyen only say if you daven Ma'ariv Shelo B'zman? But if you daven Ma'ariv B'zman, you should also say a Brocha, Shei Kedushanu B'mitzvah Yisav V'tzivanu, the Kriya is Tashma. He doesn't have an answer, so that's what the Netziv answers. If you daven Ma'ariv B'zman, so you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriya Shema within the framework of the Birchas Kriya Shema. That's how the Chachamim were mesakin, the whole idea of Birchas Kriya Shema. Each of the three Birchas Kriya Shema spell out the themes of each of the three parshias. The first parsha is Mavi Yom Mevi Loilo, that Hashem Echad is one God, not like the Ovad Avodah Zarah who believed that there's a God of light and a God of darkness and a God of good, a God of evil, a lot of different gods. We believe that it's one, the same God. There's only one God. So the first parsha, the first bracha, you have to mention both Bayom and Balayla, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moshel Bayom and Balayla. That spells out the theme of the first parsha of Shema. Then the second bracha, Abba Rabba and Abba Solem, spells out the theme of the second parsha, that Kabbalah's all mitzvahs and Kabbalah's achiyuv of Talmud Torah. I think several achrayim point out, we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us very much, so kemayim hapanim lapanim, it's easier for us, you have to ask Hashem Elokecha, it's easier for us to develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because He showers His love upon us. So we say, Bayom HaBalah, we say, Abba Rabba, Abba Salam, Avtona Hashem Elokeinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us very much. So He wants Kemayim HaPanim LaPanim Kein Lev HaAdam Lo, and He wants us to develop a love for Him, just like He loves us very much. So He wants us to love Him very much. And the third bracha, Gaul Yisrael, spells out the theme of the third parasha in Shema, Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim, Geula, Geula Mitzrayim. So Kriya Shema, Bayom HaBalayla, if you daven Bizman, is always fulfilled within the framework of the Birchas Kriya Shema, within the framework of the Brachas. So that's what the Nesiva said, that since CP says Messiah is fulfilled within the framework of the four Brachas Halakos, therefore there were never Mesakana Brachas, so the same is true regarding Kriya Shema. But if you daven Ma'ariv before this man, and then you're going to have to repeat Kriya Shema later without the Brachas, so you're not Yotze with the Brachas that you said before. So then you have to recite the Birchas HaMitzvah, Shekadoshon HaMitzvah Yisav, Ritziv Mona, Lekroa Sashma. That's what the Nitziv points out. That this Rabbeinu Yoni quoted the Rav Haggoyen, this can be understood based on the explanation that he gave. Why Mi'ikra Adin, the Kohen who says the Nesias Kapayim, doesn't have to recite a bruch. The Rishonim quote on Perek Arba Psochim from the Yerushalmi that Kol Oichal Matzah Berek Pesach Kila Boil Arisos of the Beis Choma. One is not permitted to eat matzah on Erek Pesach. The Pashtun says Kadesh Yochal Matzah L'Teyovin. He should be excited when he eats the matzah Leil HaSeder. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam recommends that the first day Pesach, you shouldn't eat too much matzah, try to cut down on the matzah. Kadesh Yochal Matzah by the second Seder, the second night of Pesach, that the oven should be all excited about it. So the Yerushalmi has a mashal that Yochal Matzah by Pesach, Kiyilu Boil Arvisasa, the Beis Chom. What way is it Kiyilu Boil Arvisasa? What kind of a wild mashal is that? They quote that one of the maskilim said he tried both of them out, and it's not the same. Boil arvisasa is much more pleasant than oichal matzah be'erev Pesach. So what is the mashal? So it's interesting. A lot of rishonim assume that just like you need kala b'lei bracha asur lebailo k'nida, just like you have to recite seven brachas to be matar the arusa lebailo, so too you have to recite seven brachas before you get to eat the matzah. So you say kiddush, and you say bor pe'agof, and then you say the bracha of kiddush. Then you say Shehech Yonah. Those are three brachas. Then you say you wash for karpas without a bracha. Then you say Bore Pi Hadama on the karpas. Then you say the bracha Shehech Yonah was the fifth bracha, the second course of wine. You say Bore Pi Hagofen and Shehech Yonah. That's already five and six. And then you, when you wash until Shadayim is already seven. You say, Alvin Tilis Naim is already seven. And then you say, the Bracha Hamotzi Al Achilas Matzah is eight and nine. So that's a question. So there are different opinions. How you calculate this? The Or Zeruah quotes, one of the Bali Atosis wrote a biur on the piyut, I think it's called the Lekei Haruchas, the piyut that you say on Shabbos HaGadol. This is coming Shabbos, Parshas Tzav is usually Shabbos HaGadol. Because in Parshat Tzav has a din of Amriko Shtifa, whenever you cook a korban chatos and a clean choshes, so you have to do Amriko Shtifa. If you don't, then the korban will turn into noiser. You eat all the besar hakorban chatos and the oshem is necho yom v'laylo at chatzos. So you eat it all up and you wash out the pot, but you still have a blia of chatos in the pot. So then when they come alos hashachet, that will turn into a noiser. So the din requires you have to do hagolah so that the tam, to be moitzi the tam. That's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Rabbi, exactly when do you do the hagolah. So the Rambam writes that you do hagolah ekev v'achila. The Rabbi asks, what does the word ekev mean? So Pashab Shad, ekev means immediately after the achila, before it becomes noiser. Because the Gemara says you never need libun. You only, even if you broil the korban chatos on a broiler, you don't need libun. Whenever the blia was like they haish, then you do need libun. So the Gemara says, no, this is hetera bola. When it was balea, it was kosher. It wasn't nicer yet. It becomes nicer way later. So since it's hetera bola, so there's never any need for libun. Hagola is sufficient. Yeah, why is that? How do you understand that? By the clay midyon, the midyonim broiled treifus. They drawled chazan, they broiled nevelus, the treifus, on their broilers. So therefore, whatever was balea, they haish, needs libun. But whatever they cooked the treifus in with morak, with liquid, so then the kibbolah kachpolta, then you can be moitzi the tam, the trefa tam, ha'idei ha'gola. But if it's a terabola, even if it's ha'idei ho'esh, you don't need limon, ha'gola is good enough. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Ran, and Chulin explains why. If you do ha'gola on a kli that really needed limon, it'll knock out most of the tam. The little bit of tam that will remain after doing ha'gola on a kli that really needed limon will be a tam kolosh. A very shvachatam. So tam kolosh is sufficient to maintain an iser that was chal already. If the nochrim, the clay midyon, if they broiled chazer or they broiled nevelus or treifus on it, so then when it was balea be iser, so then you need dafke libun. Because if we do Hagole, true, all that will remain behind in the Kli will be a Tam Kolosh. The Tam Kolosh is sufficient to retain an Issa Aret. But if it's a Terabola, the tam and the Kli doesn't become nice until it comes Alos HaShachar. With the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to eat the Chatzis and the Oshem after Chatzis. But Minat Torah, you're allowed to eat it all night long. So when it comes Alos HaShachar, the morning of the next day, that's when it turns into Noisa. The Bliya and the Kli turns into Noisa. So if you'll do a Hagole, Ekev Achila, immediately after the Achila, before it becomes Noisar, so all you have left is a Tam Kolosh, and then you want that when it comes Alos HaShachar, the Issa Noisa, Shidichala, and the Bliya and the Pa'at, so that's what the Gemara says, Tam Kolosh is not sufficient if you want an Issa to be Chalad. If the Issa already was Chal before the Kli was Balea, because the Rochem used it beforehand, they used it from the Reilus of Trefus, they used it for Behemoth Meya, for Chazer, so then if you do a Hagol instead of doing a Libun, so all that will be left will be a Tam Kolosh. Tam Kolosh is sufficient to retain an Issa. They already had an Issa before you even broiled that, before you broiled it in the Kli. But if it doesn't have the Issa yet, it was a kosher carbon chatos, and you broiled it in order to eat lamb chas, steak, so that, and then you do Hagol instead of Libun, so you have left the Tam Kolosh. That Tam Kolosh is not enough for an Issa to be Chalan. When it comes Alos HaShachar, it's not going to turn into Noiser. It has to be a Tambori. But if the Issa already was Chal before you broiled, it was a Surab Bola. The Issa was Chal already, then Tam Kolosh is sufficient to retain an Issa. It's not enough if you want the Issa to be Chalan. That's the Ran's explanation. Why there should be a difference between a Terabola and a Surabola. Yeah. So that's a machlek as the Rambam and the Rabbi. There's 2 days in Taisus and Perik, in the end of Zvachim in the Perik, I forgot the name of the Perik, whether you do Hagola, whether you do the Mariko Shtifa after it became nicer, or before to prevent it from becoming nicer. So one of the Ravid's opinion is like the other day in Tarsus, that doesn't make sense. There's a meritza to do Mariko Shtifa. It's a mitzvah. Usually by us, it's not a mitzvah to kasha the kelim. You have a brevet. Throw out the kli. Don't use it again. If you don't want to throw it out, then you can kasha it. The hagola with the libun is a matir. The halacha says you can kasha it. But Mariko Shtifa has to be done in the azara. So that's a mitzvah, obviously. And Mariko Shtifa, you do Bechamer Ubitzayne. What a murk, Meshuta Bamayim. There's a Machlekes, Nigmar, two Pshotim. One of them goes Bechamen, one goes Bitzayne. Murk is Bechamen, Meshuta Bamayim. Or Shutaf is Bechamen, and Murk is Bitzayne. Yeah, that did that. You need Tzayne and then Chamen. That's only by Kutchen. If you have a tray for clean, this man is that. You don't have to do Mariko Shtifa Bechamen Ubitzayne. Just do the Hagola Bechamen and burning bubbling hot water. Mala resicha, then there's no need to rinse it off with cold water. Taisus quotes the last dafan al bezar. Taisus quotes a minig. They wonder what is it all about. After you finish doing hagola on a tray for fork, a tray for pot, whatever, then you rinse it off with cold water right away. Taisus can't understand what it's all about. They say probably it was a minig that was introduced to make a zecha l'mariko shtifa in kochim. So then only in kochim like that. Then when you cook klicheres or shetavushot bo, umarak v'shuta b'amayim. If you cook the carbon in a klicheres, if you cooked it in a klicheres, then you shover. Then hator hiyira al klicheres that the bliya is on yaitz midei diofil yolam. The bliya you can't know for sure that if you do hagola you will succeed in removing the whole bliya. But if you have a clean chosh, the clean chosh is b'shala umarak v'shuta b'amayim. So since the Parsha talks about Hagola, Mariko Shtifa, doesn't say a word about Liban, talks about Hagola. So that's why the meaning was to set up the calendar in such a way that Shabbos Parsha Tzav is usually Shabbos Hagol, because the practice in Europe always used to be, they didn't have two sets of dishes, one for Pesach, one for all year long. The same set of pots and pans that they used for all year long, they used to kasha do Hagola. So that's based on the Parsha Mariko Shtifa and the Chumash. Yeah, so there are different opinions in the Rishonim. How do you calculate the seven brachas? And Arusa is Asur Labaila Midrabbanim and Atara. The Oris is Mutav Arusasa, but Midrabbanim it's awesome. He's not Mechuyev. The Torah hasn't parsed Mishpatim. When a couple is married and they have Nisuin, then the din is he's Chayev Sheriksus Vanasa La Yigra. Then he has a chiyavoyna, but during Erisin there's no chiyavoyna. So with the rabbanon, but she's materis lebailos. And with the rabbanon, they made it that it's an iser. If there's no chiyavoyna, then they asked that oris is also bar resosa. That's the bracha that we said. Also lanas harusas v'yitalonas harusas lanai dechup v'kiddushin. So that what's mater the arusa lebailo, that's a big machlokes taka. During the COVID, it came up. The din is that Birchas Nisuin requires a minyan. You have to have a sorah to be able to recite Birchas Nisuin le'ikuv. Birchas Erisin is a minyan. Whenever it's easily available, you should have a minyan for Birchas Erisin. If it's not so easy to get a minyan, so you can be makel to say Birchas Erisin without a minyan. But Birchas Nisuin requires a minyan le'ikuv. That's a real din. So the question is, what if it's during COVID? And people are afraid to gather together. So you're not going to have a minyan. Or you live in a city where there are no other Jews. There simply is no minyan. So does the halacha say, Kalav lebracha asur lebailo kadi? Because man, you don't say the shevet brachas, she's asur lebailo. So if you don't have a minyan, you can't have nisuin. Or do you say, no, just like a bracha is not miyakev in a mitzvah, if you fulfill the mitzvah, there is a mitzvah, there are money. If you fulfill the mitzvah, you forgot to say the bracha, you yotze b'riyev, it's total aviyah. If you do nisuin, even though you didn't say the bracha, kala b'lo bracha asur l'bailo k'nida is not accurate, means kala b'lo nisuin asur l'bailo k'nida. But if you did nisuin, even if you didn't say the bracha, that would be good b'riyev. So that's a big machlokes, achrayim. They quote a Chuvas HaRashba that you can't get married. If you don't have a minyan, you can't get married. So somehow we ignore that Chuvas HaRashba because all the Rovi of the Achrayim rejected it. The Rovi of the Achrayim hold that it's not so. The din is not really Kala B'lei Broch HaSur L'Bai L'Kanida, but Kala B'lei Chupa, Kala B'lo Nisuin. So if you have a Shas HaTchak, then you don't have a minyan. So Birchas Erisin is not a problem at all. You say the Birchas Erisin without a minyan. Birchas Nisuin, you can't say without a minyan, but they can still have the Nisuin, you can have the Chuppah, without the Birchas Nisuin, it shall be Materis Labailam. Yeah. So there are different opinions in the Rishonim exactly how do you calculate the Shev Brachos. Because when we wash Netilas Yadayim before Karpas, so all right, the common practice is that one does not recite a Bracha. The Vilna Gaon used to follow the Rambam, he did say a Bracha. On Dovish Tivula B'mashke, he did say a bracha. So some have the version that's a Rav Soloveitchik said it over. On Pesach night, the Grod wouldn't say the bracha until he said daim. But Dovish Tivula B'mashke, before he dips the carpets into salt water, because he didn't want to have more than seven brachas. He wanted to have sheva brachas. But if you look in the Prima Godim, he has a few shittas from the Rishonim and from the Achrayim. How do you calculate these? Sheva brachas. So some calculated seven different brachas on until it's not, you're going to be saying it twice before you wash for karpas and before you wash for bread, before you wash for the matzah. So it could be that you did say on until it's a dime. That's a discussion. How do you calculate the sheva brachas? Yeah, we have this simonim for the seder kaddish uchatz karpas yachatz. We have yachatz at the beginning before you even start tzipa yitzias mitzrayim, before you even began. The Rambam doesn't have yachatz till you're about to say hamotzi lechem min haaretz. So the Rambam says instead of having lechem mishnah shleimus like on a normal Shabbos and Yom Tov, so you take two matzahs, you take lechem mishnah, and you break one of them because the pasuk says that matzah has to be eaten and should be lechem oni. What does mean lechem oni? You should fulfill the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach night by the Seder by having a prusa. That's why it's called lechem oni. So the Rambam has that you take two matzahs and you break one of them, so you only have one and a half matzahs, and you break the matzah right before you're about to say hamotzi al achilas matzah. Our practice is not like that. Most people follow the suggestion of Tosfos that you have three matzahs. You start off at three matzahs. You break one of them, so you have 2.5 matzahs. What do you have 2.5? You need 2 matzahs, 2 shleimas for the mitzvah of Surah Shabbos V'yontav every week. You want to have 2 shleimas. And then you have a prusa in order to fulfill a mitzvah of achilas matzah. So you have to have 2.5 matzahs. Yeah. So the common minig is, the Maharil explains what, common minig is that you break the matzah, kadosh uchatz karpas yachatz. You break one of the three, you break the middle matzah before CPTS Mitzrayim, right after karpas. Why? Because there are 2 drushas on the word lechemoni. One drusha is madaka shaloni v'prusa, and the other drusha is lechem sha'onim oladur maharbeh. So we want to have the matzah should be a prusa at the time that we tell the story of CP Yitzias Mitzrayim. Lechem she'enim malav dvarim harbei. The CP Yitzias Mitzrayim should be fulfilled when the matzah calls manchem menachem lefanecha, when the matzah is on the table. So that's our practice, that we do the yachatz. We do the yachatz at the beginning. Yeah, how do we fulfill Sipi Tzias Mitzrayim? So the Mishnah says, Mascha Beginus Umisayim Bishvach. How exactly do you do that? What does it mean, Mascha Beginus Umisayim Bishvach? So the Gemara has a Machlekes Rav Shmuel. So we basically say, Rav Salia, we basically say 2 different Haggadahs. We say the Haggadah of Rav and the Haggadah of Shmuel as well. So one Haggadah is Avodim Hayinu Lefar Mitzavayotzi Anashem Mitzrayim. Mascha Beginus Umisayim Bishvach. About the actual story of CP Tzias Mitzrayim, the leaving of Abdus. We used to be Avadim, but Avadim, you know, the Far Mitzrayim, but it's the Enoshtel and Kamishom, the Rav Chazaka, and so on. The other opinion is no, CP Tzias Mitzrayim, you should tell about the purpose, the goal of your Tzias Mitzrayim was in order, Ani Hashem Elokecha Mashiach, it says, Ev Mitzrayim, Lios Lachem Lelekim. The whole purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was in order to lead up to Ma'amir Hasina. That's why we count Sphira between Pesach and Shavuos. Because the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim, in lecha bechana lemisha isik batara, the whole purpose of having Yitzias Mitzrayim is in order to be able to be mekabel Torah later. So rather than say avodim hayinu vayetzi anishem Mitzrayim, you should really say tchila abde avodizor hayav esvein evachshik kavara bokim lavaydosai. That's the purpose of the Yitzias Mitzrayim. So this was the machlekes for Rav Shmuel. What does the Lashon HaMishnah mean? Mascha Beginus and Mesayim Mishmach. So we basically say both Haggadahs. We say the Haggadah of Rav and Haggadah of Shmuel. We raise the question, Rav got smicha from Rabbi Rav Nasi. Shmuel tried to get smicha and it didn't work. Every day Rabbi Rav Nasi was busy with something else. And then the boat was leaving. Rav and Shmuel both lived in Eretz Yisrael. And they both, each one of them, decided they felt obligated to go to Bavel to establish yeshivas. Because the people were very religiously inclined in Bavel, the Jewish people, but they were Amaratzim. They didn't have any of the dinim, so they were violating everything. They were violating all the dinim. So Rav Shmuel, the Gemara has in the first few dafim in Gittin, they instituted Fananechtam, a Shlich Lailoch HaSaget and Chutz Loretz has to say Befananechtam, Fananechtam, because the Bnei Chutz Loretz were Amaratzim, and they didn't know the dinim of Lishma. A lot of times the Gittin would be written Shalor Lishma. So that's what motivated the Chachamim, the days of the Tanaim, to institute that they have to say Bifan Anechtav in order to know for sure that the husband authorizes Sefer to write the get Lishma. Otherwise the whole get is no good. So the Gemara says, Mechiyosa, Rav LeBovel, Rav and Shmuel, they both came to Bovel, each one established a yeshiva and did 2 different cities, and the level of learning religious observance was much higher than ever before. And the din of Bavel became the same as Eretz Yisrael. It's no longer necessary to say Bifan Anechtav in Bavel. Other are areas in Chutz Lo'ez it is necessary, but not in Bavel. Because of Rav LeBavel, there's much more learning going on. So that's, So that's a question over here. How can it be a machlokes Rav and Shmuel? What does it mean, Mascha B'Gerus and Messiah Mishvach? They learned by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So what did Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi say when he edited the Mishnayos and he incorporated that line, Mascha B'Gerus and Messiah Mishvach? What did he tell the Talmidim that it means? So such a question that's raised by the Meiri at the opening Mishnah in Bava Kamma. The Mishnah says, Abraham Sinzik and Shor Bar Mave and Hever. So Mave is a Machlekes Rav Shmuel, whether Mave Zeh Ha'esh, no, Hever, Hever is Esh. Whether Mave Zeh Ha'odom, it refers to Odom HaMasak, and Mave Zeh Shem V'regom. Machlekes HaMaroim. And the word Mave is a big doichek. If it means Odom, how does the word Mave come to mean? Odom, Mave means one who davens. So we describe a human being as a davener. And according to the other opinion, Mave Zeh Hashem, also based on difficult psukim. So why did Rabbi Yonasi use such a strange lashon? Mave. Mave is a ha'odom because im tevayim bayu, a human being is described as a davener. That's Odom HaMasek is describing that as a davener. And if you have Mave Zeh Hashem based on a strange pasuk, very strange. So the Meiri raised the question, how could there be a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel? There it's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, but the Mave is the ha'odom or Mave Zeh Hashem. What did Rabbi Yonasi mean when he added to the Mishnah and used the word Mave? They were by Rabbi Yonasi. So how did he present the Mishnah? So the Meiri suggests over there, the beginning of Bava Kamma is quoted by the Shittim Obetzis, if I'm not mistaken. The beginning of Bava Kamma, that there was an old tradition that the Arba Avos and Zikin, and there were two versions of that tradition, whether one of the four Nezikin should be Odom HaMazik, or no, the four Avos Nezikin are within Mamon HaMazik. Odom HaMazik is not mentioned in the Mishnah. Mentioned in another Mishnah at the end of the second parak of Bava Kamma, Odom Olyonim Be'im Shegik Be'im Amezit Be'im Yonis Be'im Birotzen. So the Meiri says there were two traditions, whether Arba Avos and Zikenheim. One tradition had it, one of the four is Adam, and one tradition had it, no, there are four Niskei Momen. So one of them is going to be Karen, and one of them is going to be Shem V'regel. So that's what, so Rabbi Yudal Nasi Dafka picked the word Mave, which is a Lishna de Mishtamma de Treinampin. If you want, you can say Mave Zeh Adam. If you want, you can say Mave Zeh Hashem. The choice of the word Mave, it's a vague term, and Rabbi Yonasi chose it to edit, to put it into the Mishnayis, so you would be preserving both of the traditions, that Arba Avos and Zikin includes Odom HaMasek, or it does not include Odom HaMasek, but only includes Shem V'regel. So that's the Meiri suggestion of this. It could be the same over here. Maybe there were always two traditions, what the Nusach of the Haggadah should be. So Rabbi Yudal Nasi wrote in a vague fashion, Maschab Genus and Messiah Mishrach, it's a Lishna and the Mishtama the Treinampin. It could be that he's referring to Avodim Hayinu Ve'yotei Hashem and Tzayin. It could be he's referring to Yitchilab David Azor Haya Vesein Rach Shekabar HaMokum Lavei Nosei. So maybe that's why Rabbi Yudal Nasi wrote such a vague Lashon, Maschab Genus and Messiah Mishrach, that it should include both of the minhagim of the different medinas, whether you say this nusach or that nusach, whether you say avarim hayinu, or you say mitchil avde avarim zar haya avasein. It's interesting, the Gemara makes a statement that the summa patam elohim hagadah, a person is blind, is not obligated to tell over seek bitzias mitzvahim, because it said, Babu zeh, the word zeh always has a connotation of something you can demonstrate. Like it says, Achorish zeh zalachem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe and Aaron what size the Levana has to appear. After the Molad, he should be able to declare that day as Rosh Chodesh. Or the Pasuk says, zeh lachem atomei. So the Gemara has a tradition. Moshe Rabbeinu picked up each animal and he said, this is an unkosher animal. He showed it to them, he demonstrated. So the Gemara said there was such a tremendous gilu shchina on the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf. Rasa Shiv Chalayam, Masha Roy Mecheska Bamuzi B'Maisa Merkava. Shiv Chalayam, the Ramram, when the Ramram quotes that line, he says, Rasa Ishto Shalachas Mehem. So all the Jewish men were Avodim Lefar, and all the Jewish women were Shvachas. The Shiv Chalayam refers to the Jewish men who used to be Shvachas to Mitzrayim. So Rasa Shiv Chalayam, that's why they said, Zekele Rabbe, they saw a tremendous Gilu Shchinim. So that's what the Gemara says by the mitzvah, by the Parsha Ben Soramara, it says the parents bring the child to Bezin and they say, Bidenu Zeh Sorer Mare, Nenu Shabeh B'Koleinu, Zolaleel V'Soyvei. So Gemara points out, Beinenu Zez, that means they can be Mara Be'etzma, they can see him, they're both able to see, at least their one eye. And they say, Beinenu Zez, Sarer Moreb. But if one of the parents, one or both of the parents are Sumim, then the whole parsha of Sarer Moreb doesn't apply. Because it's only called Zef, it's something that can be Mar Be'etzma. So the Gemara says here also, by seeing Pitzias Mitzrayim, the word Zef appears, Babazal Shashem Liz Mitzayis Mitzrayim, Babazal Ha'amarti, El B'sho She'ish Matzamor, Menachem Lefanecha. So that's what the Gemara says. Asuma is Patam Eloi Mehagodin. Suma is not Mechuyim, because it says Zef. That's a Shaila, whether the Kiddush on Pesach night, we fulfill the mitzvah of Sfiat Pitzias Mitzrayim within the framework of the four brachas alakos. So would you say that Kiddush itself is the beginning of Sfiat Pitzias Mitzrayim? Or no? We say Zechel Pitzias Mitzrayim in the Kiddush. Maybe that's not for the purpose of Zechiris Pitzias Mitzrayim. Maybe that's the Nusach of Kiddush. And Sfiat Pitzias Mitzrayim only begins after you say the Kiddush. Mitchila Abder, but it's Arahai Abisenu. So that's a shalom. Let's say the one who's going to recite the Kiddush for all the Mesubim is going to be an old grandfather who already lost his eyesight. He's a Suma. And the grandchildren want to be in Mechaber to him, so they say, Zayda, you say the Kiddush for us and we'll all be Yotze with your Kiddush. So if you say that the Kiddush on Pesach night is not only Kiddush, it's the beginning of Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim, so then the Gemara said the Suma is not Mechuyev. So if he's not Mechuyev, B'dobe can't be Motzei Achem Edechei Vosom. The Iker of Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim, there was a Chassidish Rebbe who was known as the Bnei Yisoskar. His Rebbe told him that he was from Shevet. He knew Beruach HaKadosh, he was from Shevet Yisoskar. So he wrote a Sefer, Bnei Yisoskar. Half the Sefer is all about the Yonim Shabbos, and the other half of the Sefer is the Yonim of the Yomim Tovim, going this and this, even in order of the different Chadoshim. So he has a little bit halacha and a little bit agada and a lot of Kabbalah, Hasidus. He has a blend of different things. One half of the Sefer is about Shabbos and the other half of the Sefer is about the different Chodesh Hashana and the different Yamim Tov, different Kavanas that one should have. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bnei Yisrael. In one place he quotes the Sefer Derech Pigvadecho. There's another Sefer by the same author, by the author of the Bnei Yisoskar. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says that in the days of the Gemara, the Talmidim stayed in the yeshiva for Yontif, and the Rosh Yeshiva used to say the Haggadah, Baal Peh. The Rosh Yeshiva would say the Haggadah. So they said, who recited the Haggadah in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yosef? Rabbi Yosef was a Sagi Nohar, he was blind. Gemara said, Rabbi Yosef said the Haggadah to be Motzi the Talmidim. Frag the Gemara, but Rabbi Yosef was blind. So Meikra, then he's part of Sipitzias Mitzrayim, because it says, Baba Zeb. Baba Zeb means Mara, something that you can see and you can visual aid. You can point to it and demonstrate to the listeners. So didn't we derive from the Pasuk that Asuma is part of Eloi Mehagodah? So the Gemara explains in the last parak that Rav Yosef is of the opinion that his mancha and Beis HaMikdash Kayim, not only is Morer only Midirabbanah, Matzah is also only Midirabbanah. So if Morer from Pesach doesn't exist, Bizman is there. And Matzah Morer doesn't exist, Minator, it's only Midirabbanah that you have a Mitzah. So the Melef, that no Mitzah is there, I said, there is no Babazah, even for the people who are able to see, there is no Babazah. So the whole Sipitzias Mitzrayim is only Midirabbanah. You only Mechiv and Sipitzias Mitzrayim if there's at least something that you can say Babazah. So if the matzah is only the rabbanon, the morbid man is only the rabbanon, so the whole piece of time is only the rabbanon. So Rabbi Yosef, even if he was blind, and you hold that a blind man is not chayiv in Sipitzias Mitzrayim, he's not chayiv in Atar, but the rabbanon he is chayiv. So therefore, he is able to be mitzi all the talmidim in yeshiva when he would recite the Haggadah Baal Peh. Yeah, we hold that it's not a problem. We hold that matzah is the rice of his man is there. Gemara said Mora is only the rabbanim of his man is there. But we have accepted the opinion that matzah of his man is there is the rice. And that's why the Sipitzias Mitzrayim is the rice. So if it's the rice, a person is a Sagino, shouldn't recite Maybe he shouldn't say the Kiddush to be Moitzi the others. That's the question. The Kiddush on Pesach night is Kiddush like any Shabbos and Yom Tov? Maybe it's to say, no, the Kiddush is the beginning of the Sipitzias Mitzrayim. But one way or the other, that's what the Nesivos explained. Since the story of Sipitzias Mitzrayim is fulfilled, mitzvah is fulfilled within the framework of the four brachas, alakos, so then they were never misakan any brachas ha-mitzvah on such a mitzvah. What is the main purpose of the Zechiras Sipitzias Mitzrayim? So that's what the B'nai Yisoschar writes in his Sefer B'nai Yisoschar. He says, no, he has it in the other Sefer I saw. He probably has them both. In B'nai Yisoschar as well as in Derech Pikudechum. The Pesukim say in Chumash, L'man revoits ma'ikso b'eretz mitzayim v'yidaitem k'an yashtem. The whole purpose of all anisim and afloas for a whole year, before Yitzias Mitzayim, the Esa Makas, each Makas took a whole month. For 3 weeks, Moshe Rabbeinu was warning them, and then the Makkah itself took a month. So it took, it was spread out. Instead of only 10 months, the Gemara says, Mishpat Mishoyim B'Gehenim. The maximum that a person has ever punished in Bezon Shamayla is a year. And the Mishpat of the Dor HaMabul was a year. They were all punished, the maximum. And the Mishpat of Mitzrayim was a year. The Esa Makkahs, each Makkah took at least a month, a little over a month. So the Esa Makkahs altogether took a whole year. That's the maximum that the Bezim Shamayla ever punishes any person or any nation is Yud Beis Chodesh. So the purpose of all of the Esa Makkahs was V'yidaitem K'ani Hashem to demonstrate all the Ikari Hamunah. So which Ikari Hamunah were demonstrated on that occasion? Number one, that God exists. Number two, Ein Oid Melvadai. The Mitzrayim were worshipped Avodah Zarah. And that's what the Jews had a shecht. Heinitz bechastavis Mitzrayim l'neim v'lo yiskalunu. They shechted as a carbon pesach. They shechted minakvas ha'meizin. That's what the animal that the Mitzrayim used to deify. And the Jewish people demonstrated they don't believe that it's a elohus. They believe that it's a avodazar. So what was demonstrated was there's only one God. And God knows what's happening in the world, and there's Schar V'Yoinesh, because people have B'chir V'Chavshes. If you wouldn't have B'chir V'Chavshes, you wouldn't be held responsible for any avera that you do, and you wouldn't be rewarded for doing a good mitzvah, doing a good deed. So all of the Yikar HaMunah were demonstrated. And the two levels of Nevuah, that Aaron HaKohen had one level of Nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu had a deeper level of Nevuah. Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu is higher level than that of the Shah Nevi'im. So all of these Ikari Hamunah, Tzchav Yonish, of course, all of these Ikari Hamunah were demonstrated on the occasion of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's important when we tell over Yitzias Mitzrayim to the children. We should bring out all of these Ikari Hamunah. On Pesach night, we eat matzah, and the Gemara learns off in the Pasuk, Shmartam is ha-matzah. Shmartam means two things. Shema michimutz, to make sure that it's not chomistic. And number two, Shmartam is ha-matzah. The matzah should be baked lishma. So if the matzah has to be baked lishma, you need asiyas ha-odom. So that's the big machlokes, if you bake matzahs by machine. If you knead the matzahs by hand, you pour in the water by hand, and you knead it by hand, and you put it into the oven like everything by hand. So that's called Asiyah Sa'adam Asiyah Lishma. And they scream out, that's a shaila, whether if you make a carbon pigul, you have a machsheves pigul. So machsheves means dibur, or machsheva means machsheva thinking. So that's 2 days in Taisus, and the first daf in Zvach, and the first daf in Merachos, middle of Psochem, and Bob Mitziah, and Kiddush, and a different Mesichtis, is 2 days in Taisus. So the Rosh writes in Hilchas Stam, whether you need, let's say you want to tie tzitzis lishma, you want to write the Sefer Torah, or tefillah and mezuzah lishma, do you need dibur? You have to say, I'm doing a lishma. Is it enough if you have machshava? Machshavas means dibur, and machshava means machshava. So the Rosh makes it totally in that shayla, whether machshavas pigul means enough. It's enough to make pigul with machshavas pigul. You just had a, that's what you're planning in your mind, even though you never said it. Oh no, it only passes the carbon if you have Marshevis Pigalai De Dibur. If you're just thinking, that doesn't count. So that's the Rosh says, that Machshava Lishma depends whether Machshava Shalom Lishma, that passes, whether that means Dibur, that means thinking. But whatever it means, when you bake the matzah, if you have Maisa Ha'adam, if the person is baking the matzah, then you can say, did he bake a Lishma, did he not bake a Lishma? So that's a Shaila. They set up a system, they have a machine, and a Jewish person pushes the button. He says, pushing the button, Lishem Mitzvah's matzah. And then he walks away, and the machine keeps on pouring flour in, and water, and mixing it, and kneading it, and baking it, cutting it, baking it, putting it. It goes on for 10 hours, keeps on going and going for 10 hours. So that's a big Shaila. This is Tsugim Bovakam. If Adam Hamazik, Ayidei Eish, you say Ishim Ishim Chitzo, it's as if a person shot an arrow. That's if a person takes a torch and he puts the torch to someone else's barn, or he puts the torch to someone else's wooden house, and he burns down the whole house. That's not Hezek of Eish, that Eish is Potter on Tamun. That's Adam HaMazik. He used the torch as an instrument, and he is an Adam HaMazik, so he's Chayv on Tamun also. When do you have the din Isha Mishum Amona, Momen HaMazik, Adam would the Oibu. If it's Isha Mishum Amona, if it's only Momen HaMazik, so then the din is that Eish is Potter on Tamun. But let's say the person was Miskamen Lekach, then you say Isha Mishum Chitzov. That's the machlokes of Yechon Reish Lakish. When do you say Ishim Mishum Chitzim? They both agree. Sometimes Eish is Adam HaMazik. If you take a torch and you burn down the fellow's house, that's Adam HaMazik. And if it's called Chitzim, then even Rabbi Yechon would agree that Ishim Mishum Mamona. And in a normal case, the fellow had a barbecue, and he thought that he put out the fire, and then he drove home. And then he didn't realize he didn't put out the fire. And then the fire is still there under the ashes, and then it spreads it and burns down the whole city. So that's the machlek sabiachan reish lokesh and balikam in the second paragraph, the esh, ishim mishum chitzim, ishim mishum amonim. So there's a big machlek sabishayim there. If we pask an ishim mishum chitzim, like Rabbi Yechanan, you say ishim mishum chitzim is a din in kol ha-Torah kula, whenever one harnesses a natural force. I harness a natural force, and then he goes ahead and he does something. Is that called, we attribute that maisa to the maisa of Adam? That's as if I shot an arrow. As if I shot an arrow to accomplish that. Each amishum chitzav. As if he shot an arrow. So it's Adam HaMazik. So should I say it's a din in Rotzeach, and it's a din in Mazik, and it's a din in Hilchah Shabbos? If you harness a natural force and you do a malacha on Shabbos, it's considered as if you did the whole malacha. Or maybe you should say Yishim Mishum Chitzav is only a local din Hilchas Nezikin. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that Yishim Mishum Chitzav is a din in Kol HaTorah Kula, even by Ritzeach, that if you killed the person, they Yishim Mishum Chitzav, and they were Edom HaHasra, then they would give him the death penalty. And the Bisker Rav works hard in his Seif on the Rambam to explain. He does say that's the halacha. He works hard to explain that there is a daya quoted by the Chidushi Haran on Sanhedrin, the Isha Mishum Chitzav is only a Chidush Din and Parshas Mishpatim by Eish as an Av Nezikim. Shalei Mishalem HaMavir Es HaBe'eru. He said to Eish, Be'atzma Mashma, he made a barbecue. And then he thought that the fire was under control, and then he drove home. He thought that he put out the fire. He finished this whole barbecue, and then accidentally, because of the Mudli Olam. So do you say Isha Mishum Chitzav is only a din in Nezikin? Or do you say it's a din in Kol HaTorah? So that's a shaila. If you have to bake the matzah lishma, so you have to have Asiyah Sa'adam. So if you're going to say that Isha Mishum Chitzav is only a din that's formulated by the Pasuk, Shalim Shalim HaMavir Es HaBe'era, is considered as if he didn't make the fire Lishem Hezek. He made the fire to make a barbecue. Then at the end, he thought that he succeeded putting out the fire and he drives home. And you still say Isha Mishum Chitzav. So some Rishonim had, there's a minority opinion. The Pashtus says, we don't pass like that. There is a minority opinion that Isha Mishum Chitzav is only a din in the Zikin. That the Ptur of Toman doesn't apply. It's not Isha Mishum Amona that Toman is part of Isha Mishum Chitzav in other modes. But if you say that Isha Mishum Chitzav is a din in Kol HaTorah Kula, then when he pushes the button, he harnesses the natural force of electricity. And he keeps on baking matzahs, so all the matzahs that he went to sleep, All the matzahs that are baked in the next 10 hours all relate back to him. It's considered as if he did everything lishma. So that's the shaila. Can you use machine matzah the first night for the Seder? How much matzah do you have to eat? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rosh that you have to have, when you say a mitzi matzah, you have to have two kezesim. You have to have one kezais from the two shleimos, like any Shabbos Yontov. We have 2.5 matzahs on Pesach night. Why? Because you need two shleimos because of the din lecha mishnah, zechal aman. So you have to have a kezais matzah for this Sugas Yontov. Then you have to have a matzah shvura, a lechamoni, madak peshalani beprusa. You have to have a broken matzah, and you eat a kezais of that matzah, and with that kezais, you eat the mitzvah of matzah. With the kezais from the two shleimos, one of the two shleimos, you eat the mitzvah of sudas yantav. And the kezais from the matzah shvura, you eat the mitzvah of matzah. So then you have to have two matzahs. So the Mishnah Berurah has tainus in the Bir Halacha. Why the Mechaber quoted this from the Rosh? He hears that all the other Rishonim disagree. They hold that it's not two different mitzvahs. It's one and the same mitzvah. So mitzvah to have Sfuras Yontif and Tenai Sfuras Yontif consists of matzah instead of a kezais of chametz. Has to be a kezais of matzah. Yeah. So that's a chumrah. The Mikra, then many would be Mekel if you eat one kezais. I saw one of the Hungarian Rabbanim wrote that it's not right that the women don't. Women are just as mechayiv as the men to eat. So the women say the bracha alachilas matzah and they eat a mashahu. They don't eat a kezayis. So they said the bracha alachilas matzah. They don't eat a kezayis. So he says, loy dai that they're not becoming the mitzvah matzah mara, but they're saying bracha levatola. So they really, if they're not sure if they're going to eat a kezayis, they shouldn't say the bracha alachilas matzah alachilas mara. They should let the husband say the bracha and they should say amen. They should try to eat a kezayis. It's really questionable. Is that enough? If you want to be yotze suda shabbos suda yontav, it's enough if you have a kezayis matzah. Many poskim say it's not enough with kezayis. Ein achila b'chusa mikezayis. If you have more than a kezayis, that's enough for matzah, that's enough for mar, that's enough for korban pesach. But for suda shabbos and yontav, many rishonim hold that you need a kebetz or perhaps yotze mikebetz. Because the Gemara says in Masech HaSukkah, one is permitted to eat achilas haroi chutz l'sukkah. You only have to eat in sukkah if it's achilas kerah. So how much bread is called achilas haroi? So Gemara says, up until and including a kebetza of bread, if that's all you're eating, a kebetza or less of bread, that's called achilas haroi, that you can eat chutz l'sukkah. Yosem kebetza, that's already called achilas kerah. So that's what many poskim say, that in order to be etz l'sukkah Shabbos, it's not sufficient to eat a kezayis of bread all year long. Any Shabbos Yom, you have to have a kebetza, a yosem kebetza. More correct, you should have yosem kebetza of challah. So that's problematic. Why they say over here you need two kezayis, one kezayis from the shleima, one kezayis from the prusa. A kezayis from the shleima is for the Suda Shabbos. For Suda Shabbos, we usually say that you need yosem kebetza. We have matzah has to be from Achmeshes Min Edogan, that it's boiled in chimutz, and then tomorrow the Mishnah Lamed Tes Amud Aleph lists off 5 different vegetables that are acceptable. So tamcha is the first one mentioned by the Mishnah, and the Rishonim says that they're listed in descending order of importance. If you have available all the 5, so preferable is to use the first one. Yeah, so the first one that pashtus is, we assume that's romaine lettuce. The Achrayim say that tamcha, the first one, is really horseradish. Horseradish is very, very questionable. The Pashta said the horseradish is not one of the 5 minim at all. And it was only, the Achrayim say, it was only introduced in those generations when the Jews moved so far north, towards the North Pole, that the 5 vegetables mentioned in the Mishnah, the lettuce, was not available there. So the Shulchan Aruch recommends, whenever you don't have any of the 5 minei maror available, you should take some other bitter vegetable and be yotze with that. But the pashtus says that horseradish is not at all. The Gemara says all of the 5 vegetables are leafy vegetables that grow above the ground. Maror is a root that grows under the ground. It's not a leafy vegetable. The whole identification, the whole idea, the wild idea that that Tamcha is Harein is highly questionable. The Pashtun says that it goes on romaine lettuce. They say Rabbi Kotli used to use regular lettuce. What's the difference here? Regular lettuce or romaine lettuce? It's the same thing. So they should obviously say you should use romaine lettuce because in the Middle East, regular lettuce was not available. They only had romaine lettuce at that time. So maybe it's only romaine lettuce, maybe regular lettuce not. Why is that preferable? And why is it marer? It's not bitter at all. It tastes delicious. And Yerushalmi explains, it's Zecha Leshibud Mitzrayim, that first the Mitzrayim were very nice to the Jews. In the beginning, they were very pleasant with the Jews, and then later on, it became Privosa Masak, Lubisofa became Mar. So the same thing, the romaine lettuce, if you let it grow, continue to grow in the ground a little longer, it'll turn bitter. But if you cut it off earlier, it's going to taste sweet, normal, taste normal. So that's preferable. That's the way the Shibud was in Mitzrayim. It started off as a friendly relationship, and then it became bitter later. That's the truth of the matter is that the romaine lettuce is not bitter at all. It's sharp. It's a different sensation. Bitter is one thing, and sharp is a different thing, two different sensations. I used to learn B'charusa for quite a few years with Dr. Naftali Neuberger. That's Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger's older brother. He's a medical doctor. So we used to learn together. He used to live in my building before he got married. We learned together every night. So he mentioned to me that the two nights of the year that the emergency ward in the hospitals in New York City are full of religious Jews are the two nights of the Seder, that we want to demonstrate Derech Eretz. So that's when people get sick from eating horseradish, or they get sick from drinking too much wine, and then they have to go to the emergency ward. So that's a disaster. That's called Derech Eretz, to show that you drink and you eat in such a way that you get sick. That's not Derech Eretz at all. The Pashto says that the romaine lettuce is the mitzvah and the horseradish is bechlal not. So some people feel bad, but for so many generations, Jews used to eat horseradish. So they take romaine lettuce and they pour a little bit of horseradish on top of it. That's the din. If you eat a dovashal mitzvah together with a dovashal rishus, osi dvar rishus and mevatel tam mitzvah, eating food, we share in common with the nochem, we share in common with the behemoth. The behemoths also have to eat food in order to remain alive. So when we eat, a kohen eats truma, or Yisrael eats karbonos, or you eat matzah, or you eat maror, so the Gemara says you should eat it without any dvar hashus at the same time. If you're going to have romaine lettuce together with horseradish, so the horseradish is a dvar hashus, is that really a proper min? Also, dvar hashus, mevatel tam mitzvah, so then you're not yotzei in the mitzvah with the romaine lettuce. You really shouldn't have both of them together. Yeah. What's the din? The Mishnah has a machlekes hatanaim. The mor has to be dipped into charoises. What's the din of charoises? What's this din you dip it in? So a lot of people make a mistake. They pile on, they pour on a lot of charoises on top of the mor. Then they eat the romaine lettuce together with a lot of charoises. That's not the mitzvah. You have to dip it into romaine into charoises and shake it all off. You should try to see to it that you hardly have anything left. And the romaine lettuce. They're not supposed to eat it together. Is there a mitzvah to eat charoises at all? So the Pashto says that not. The Pashto says you just dip the mor into the charoises. But you don't have a mitzvah to eat any charoises. There is a machlokes hatanoim whether charoises is a mitzvah or it's only for medical purposes. That's a machlokes in the Mishnah, a blessed Rab Tzadik and a Chachamim. So the Chachamim are of the opinion that it's only for medical purposes. The romaine lettuce may have worms in it, but those worms are kosher. Tosafot says not all worms are treif. Could be those worms are kosher, but it's not healthy to have live worms crawling around in your stomach. So that's why we want to kill the worms in advance before we swallow it. So we either dip the mor into the charoises, or we wave it on top of the charoises, and the smell alone, the sharp smell of the charoises is enough to kill the worms. That's what the Gemara says. So that's the sheet of the Chachamim. The Rav Lezer Rav Tzadik, charoises is not a mitzvah, it's only medically recommended. And the Rav Lezer Rav Tzadik says, no, charoises is a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah in the Rabbanon. What's a mitzvah in the Rabbanon? So the Bavli has two suggestions. Maybe it's Zecher L'Tit, maybe it's reminiscent of the concrete that our ancestors used to use in order to build those pyramids of Pisa and Ramses. So zecha letit. So the Gemara says it should be thick. And the Gemara says zecha letapuach, because it says tachas letapuach haratichon. So you want to make a zecha letapuach, it should be a zecha letzias mitzvah. What is a tapuach? So people mistakenly think that tapuach means an apple. Like there's a medrash that says that the chet of Eitz Hadas was a tapuach. But it doesn't mean a tapuach, an apple. That's the Christians assume like that. The forbidden fruit was an apple in Gan Eden. It wasn't an apple. The Pashto says the forbidden fruit was an esrei. And that's what Tosfos says. Tapuach means an esrei. Tapuach means a citrus fruit that you can smell from a distance. So that's two opinions in the Bavli, whether the Haroses and Zechelitit should be reminiscent of the cement that the Jewish people used to build all the pyramids, and that has to be really thick. So when you start off, the Haros should be thick, and then you should make it liquidy. It should be Zechelitapuach. Tapuach has, you can smell it from a distance. So that's what Tosfos says. Tapuach means a citrus fruit. So you should squeeze in orange juice. Tapuach in this context doesn't mean apples. In Tanakh, Tachas Tapuach Haraticha, they say apples didn't exist in the Middle Ages, in the Middle East, in the days of the Tanakh. So when it says Tapuach, it refers to citrus fruits. Yeah. And then Tosfos quotes from the Gaonim, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it. What other ingredients should be there in addition to tapuach? So it says you should have other fruits mashed up or sliced up, chopped up, and so on, that Bnei Yisrael were nimshal to. So you look on Shir Hashirim, you have all the different fruits that Bnei Yisrael are compared to. So that's special ingredients that you have to put into charoses, if you hold charoses mitzvah. Yeah, the Yerushalmi has a third reason why should charoses be a mitzvah, zecha ledam. So zecha ledam, you should start off having charoses that's very thick, zecha letit, should be reminiscent of the cement that the Jewish people, our ancestors, used to build Pisa and Ramses, or Miskin and Slefara. Then you should pour in red wine, unless there's an Alidas Adam in your community. But otherwise, you should pour in red dam, zecha ledam, and you should have tapuach, zecha letapuach. There should be citrus fruits in there. How do we paskin? That's the question. Do we paskin charoses like? Charoses is only for medical reasons, to make sure that you kill the worms. Shouldn't have live worms crawling around in your stomach. Or do you say that charoses are mitzvah midrabban? So that's the two Rambams. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos writes from the fact that there's no Haggadah has a bracha. So obviously there's no mitzvah to have charoses. It's only for medical purposes. That's how the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos. Assuming if the din would have been like a blessed website, charoses mitzvah, you would have been required to eat a kazayis of charoses. Interesting. That's what it says in the Rama. In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam was Chazaboy. He passes like Rav Elazar, Rav Tzadik, Haroises is a mitzvah. And he says, nonetheless, despite the fact that it's a mitzvah, not only for medical purposes to kill the worms, because it's not healthy to have live worms crawling around the stomach, but it's for mitzvah purposes, Zecha Letam, Zecha Letit, and Zecha Letapuach. But nonetheless, a bracha is not recited. So the Alcha Mishnah points out that the Rambam backed out from the two points that he wrote in the Pirush HaMishnayos. Every so often we see the Rambam change his mind from what he wrote in Pirush HaMishnayos to what he writes in the Mishnah Torah. So here he changed his mind on two issues. Number one, whether we pass like a Lazar or Tzarek like a Chachamim, but the Haroses is only for medical reasons, or it's for a mitzvah, midrabanan. And number two, if you hold charoses mitzvah, is a bracha recited? So the Rambam lemaskana paskins charoses is a mitzvah. He still don't recite a bracha. That's the question. Why not? So many rishonim say because it's an ikar and a tofel. The whole role of the charoses is to dip the maror in. So you're going to say a bracha al achilas maror. So why should you say a bracha on the charoses? It's only a tofel to the maror. The klal birach al ikar patas atfela doesn't only apply in connection with Birchas Hanenin, it applies even in connection with Birchas HaMitzvah. If you have two mitzvahs, one mitzvah is tafel to the other one, all you have to do is say the bracha on the Ikar mitzvah, and the tafel is covered. So that's what the Torah writes, that's what others write. Rav Soloveitchik gave a different beer. Why there's no, despite the fact that Charoses is a mitzvah, according to the Rambam, the Mishnah Torah, bracha is still not recited. So the Rav had a whole different mahal. But it's interesting that the Rama writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, if he would have adopted the position of Lazar Rav Tzadok, then there would have been a bracha on eating charoses, asher kadoshan b'mitzvos v'tzivanu, al achilas charoses. We don't eat charoses. You only dip the mar into the charoses. So from the Rama Mishmashe, if the din would have been like a Lazar Rav Tzadok, from the Rama and the Pirush HaMishnayos, it becomes clear. If we would have adopted sheet of Lazar Rav Tzadok, we would have said a bracha al achilas charoses. And achilah pechusim b'kezayis is supposed to have a kezayis of charoses. That is interesting. There is such a Rama also. The Rama says that just like on Erev Pesach, you shouldn't eat matzah. You shouldn't eat matzah k'dei she'echa matzah l'teyovin. You should be excited about eating the matzah le'el ha'seder. So too, there was a recommendation that a person shouldn't eat any of the fruits that you contain within the charoses. So the Rama makes fun of it. Who eats charoses? There's no mitzvah to eat. A mitzvah to dip the mar into the charoses in order to kill the bugs, in order to kill the worms. But there's no mitzvah to eat charoses. The Rama, that's exactly what the Rama is making fun of that meaning. But according to the way the Rama understood the meaning was that they ate a kazayis of charoses. And they didn't eat fruits on Erev Yontif, or late in the afternoon, because of the second night, the second Seder, they wouldn't eat those fruits during the daytime of the first day of Yontik. The Shiochol, the Charoes of the second night, the Teoven. That is interesting. And then the third source, that there's such a thing as eating a Kazayis Charoeses. The first source is the Pirush HaMishnayos in Pesachim, that he says, if the din wouldn't have been like Rav Lavi Lapsarik, would have recited a bracha, Shekadashana b'mitzvah tzivanu. Yeah. The second source is the Ramo, who recommends, he quotes, there was such a practice, and he thinks that it doesn't make any sense. There was a practice that you don't eat those fruits that appear in the Charoses on Erev Pesach. So obviously there's a mitzvah in the Rabbanah to eat the Charoses. And the third source is a Mordechai, and on the last page in Pesachim, but the Mordechai raises the question, how is it humanly possible to swallow kazayis charoses, kazayis matzah, and kazayis korban pesach at the same time? The Beis Habli is only machzik two kazayisim. How can you swallow three kazayisim at the same time? So that's what the Mordechai gives an answer to the question. The Gemara says the Beis Habli is only machzik a kebetza, and a kebetza is two kazayisim. So how is it possible that he's going to swallow all three together, matzah, the morer, and a kazayis of the charoses? How can it be? So that's what some Rishonim say, yes, that the Mordechai answers. What I answer is, how can you swallow the three kazesim? The Beis Habli is only machzik two kazesim, because the Beis Habli is only machzik kibetza, and the kibetza is two kazesim. That's the question of the Mordechai. So the Mordechai gives an answer. He says, when do you say the Beis Habli is not machzik more than a kibetza, more than two kazesim? That's if you're swallowing it in a chunk. You're going to swallow a hard-boiled egg. If the hard-boiled egg is too big, you're going to choke on it. A hard-boiled egg is as big as it can come. He can't swallow more than a kibetza beis habliya bevasachas. But if you ground out each, you shoot everything up, and then you hold it in your mouth and you swallow it all bevasachas, then you can't even swallow three kizaisim bevasachas. What three kizaisim are you swallowing? So the Mordechai said three kizaisim, a kizais matzah, a kizais marer, and a kizais of charoses. So the Rama has Haggaios. In the days of the Rama in the 1500s, they didn't sit and read Shulchan Aruch. They were writing the Shulchan Aruch at that time, but it wasn't available. So he used to give shiurim halacha l'maaseh by reading the Mordechai. So they have in all the Mordechais and all the Masechtos have hagos from the Ramah, hagos haRamah on the Mordechai. So when the Ramah gave shiur on the Mordechai, he used to give a running commentary. So sometimes he would correct the gears in the Ramah in the Mordechai. So instead of saying, when Mordechai raised the question, how can you swallow three kizesim of Asachas, so the three kizesim that we have, and the old kisvayad say, kizayis matzah, kizayis morer, and kizayis charoises. So you see that there's a mitzvah to eat a kizayis charoises. So he says, so the Ramah suggested, maybe it's a misprint. Maybe you should say kizayis from Pesach, matzah, and morer. Those are the three kizesim that you need. But not that the third one is the Korban Pesach. But rather the third Kazayas is the Kazayas of Charoises. So these are the three sources that there may be such a thing as a mitzvah with the Rabbanan to eat a Kazayas of Charoises. The one is the Pirish HaMishnayis LaHarambam, that if you hold Kazayas mitzvah, you should really recite the Baruch HaShekadoshan the mitzvah Yisav Tzivanu, Alachidus Charoises. There's such a thing in the mitzvah of the Rabbanan to eat a kazayis of Charoises. And the second source was the Mordechai, the old Girsa in the Mordechai, that you eat three kazayis in the Vasachas. And even though the Beis Avliya is usually in the Machse more than two kazayis, and that's if it's not granulated. It was chewed up already, so then you can't eat all three together. And the third is the Ramah, that you should, he quotes a meaning on the left side, he thinks it's ridiculous. You shouldn't eat any of the fruits that you're going to mix into the charoises, because the, you should eat leteyavim, you should eat the charoises leteyavim. So the Ramah says, who's eating charoises? Nobody eats charoises. So those are the three sources, at least three sources in Rishayim, that there's a sheet, that there's a mitzvah to eat a kazayis of charoises. The Gemara has a din regarding the Korban Pesach, that they had to eat the Korban Pesach, all the Gemara had to eat it on the ground level. Gagam Aliyah Lenny is couching. You can't eat it on the rooftop, you can't eat it on the second floor. If you have a hotel with 98 floors, you can only eat the Korban Pesach on the ground level. You can't eat it on the higher levels, because Gagam Aliyah Lenny is couching. So in the Rishayim, there's a big discussion. Gagam Aliyah, it's a Tosfos in Makkos, has a discussion. One opinion is Gagam Aliyah Lenis Kachur is only a din in Korban Pesach. It doesn't even apply to Kachim Kalim. All other Kachim Kalim, Ashlamim, and a Taida, you can eat it in Gagam Aliyah or Yerushalayim also. Only Korban Pesach he can eat. Another opinion is no, it applies Gagam Aliyah Lenis Kachur regarding Achilas Kachim Kalim, B'chol Ho'ir. You can't eat at Gagam Aliyah, but as far as eating Maaseh Sheni B'Yushalayim, Gagam Aliyah would be good. It's only a din in Karbanos. Then the third opinion is no, that Gagam Aliyah's Lenitz Kacha doesn't have Kedushas Yerushalayim, only on the ground level. So the din applies even with respect to eating Maaseh Sheni. You cannot eat Maaseh Sheni on Gagam Aliyah. That's different opinions. Yeah, the first sheet is interesting, that there's a special din, Gagam Aliyah Lenis Kachur, only with respect to Korban Pesach. There are special dinim in the Mokam Achila for Korban Pesach, more so than another Kachim Kalim. We know that it's true, a Pesach Zayin Anechol B'Shnei Mekoymetz, that's based on a Pasuk and Chumash. Once you started eating with one Chabura, you ate already a Kazayis with this Chabura, you can't change your mind, you go to continue eating Korban Pesach. From your Korban Pesach, your Munan, I want to eat and keep company with the other people because they tell fascinating stories. I want to eat the Korban Pesach with them. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to. If you started eating the Korban Pesach with one group, you can't switch to eat with another group. So you see that the Makom Achila by the Korban Pesach has special dinim over and above all other Kachim Kalim. Yeah. The Gemara has, because Gagam Aliyah is Lenis Kachu, Gemara has an expression that there were millions of Olam Golem came every year to eat the Korban Pesach. People from all over, Arisah from Chutzla, they also came to eat the Korban Pesach. There's a Tosfos on Dav Gimel and Beis, and Pesach and Tosfos says By who? Aramo. There was an Ochi who fooled the rabbis into believing that he was Jewish, and he would every year he would eat from the Korban Pesach. He fooled them. So the Gemara says, Rablaz Bapsarek told them to ask for the fatty tail of the Korban Pesach, and they should realize that he's not Jewish. So when they realized that he's not Jewish at all, so they killed him. So it's a strange Gemara. So one of the strange things, why they kill him? Korban Echol, Yochel Baz, an Nisan, the guy who eats the Korban Pesach, not an Nisan, the guy. We shouldn't give it to the guy. So why did they kill? Why did the guy deserve Mises Bezin? So that's a discussion. Maritz Chai says others discuss what's going on. But the Tesis raises a question there. Ablozer, this Tana, Rabbi Ben Meseir, he didn't go to Yerushalayim. He stayed where he was. And Mitzvadas and Prus of Yerushalayim, he set a trap for the Nochri, who is fooling the Rabbanim every year, to let him become a Mamunah on their Korban Pesach. So Tosfos asks the question, why do you have to set a trap? When it comes to our Pesach, everybody has to be on the regular. So that Tana, the Rabbi Bemser, will be there also. So Tosfos says, no, apparently he lived in the Chutz Lartz, and those who live in Chutz Lartz are not obligated to come to Eretz Yisrael in order to eat Korban Pesach. That is very fascinating. So on the side of the Tosfos, they have printed, the Tosfos is written, printed straight, and they have sideways there, in between the lines over there. So it says, look in the Mishnah. Melech disagrees with every line in Tosfos. He said there is no such din. But the other Acharonim point out that there's such a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi seems to say that the Jews who live in Chutz Laretz are not mechuyev to participate in Korban Pesach if they don't want to. If they want to, fine, ain't a mitzvah l'yosef. But if they don't want to, they're not mechuyev to, because Korban Pesach is a Korban Tzibur, and that Tzibur only applies to those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Laretz are kechidin domo. They're not considered a part of the Klal Yisrael. And that's a din in the first parak in Harius. The Gemara says that the institution of Par Halam Dov Shal Sibur is only bought Menelam Dov Me'eni HaKohol. If the Kohol violated the din, the Kohol refers to those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. All the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are part of the Klal Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Laretz are kechidin domo. Yeah. So the Balamor has, so the Gemara has a Loshen. That they, when it comes to eating the Korban Pesach, you have to eat it out on the ground level. There wasn't, Ir Atika wasn't big enough to have everybody eat Korban Pesach on the ground level, so they had to eat in shifts. So when the first shift was eating the Korban Pesach, the second and the third shift were waiting, and they said, hurry up, we don't want to wait doomsday, we don't want to wait till after Chatzos, we want to eat the Korban Pesach before Chatzos, finish eating already, give us a chance to eat Korban Pesach on the ground level. But that's what the Mahazal Loshen, Kazaisa Pischa, they the Kazaisa, the Korban Pesach, the Halela Papa Igra. They recited the Hallel, and they were dancing and singing so much when they sang the Hallel, people thought as if the floor is going to break. They said the Hallel on the rooftops. They couldn't eat the Korban Pesach on the rooftops. So the Balamor has a beautiful suggestion, a historical suggestion. Maybe the Din Emaftir and Achat Pesach Afikaymen is like this. If you ate already the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal, and we want that when he benches, it should be Tam Pesach Nefiv. Why is that? So we want to make sure that he doesn't forget to say the rest of the Hallel. So he's going to eat the Korban Pesach, and the second and the third and the fourth shifts are waiting for the first shift to finish eating already. So they're going to have to find some other place to eat. They're going to go to the Gagam Aliyas, where it's not a... You have to say Kiddush in the same place where you're going to eat the Korban Pesach. You have to have Kiddush b'makom Suda. Then right after they finish eating the Suda, the bench, you have to have Birchas HaMazon b'mkaymah. After they finish benching Birchas HaMazon, then everybody has to go find a new location to finish the Hallel after the meal and to recite the Birchas HaShir. So that's what the Baal HaMor says. That din, in the very end of the Masechta, after Achat Pesach, Afikayman, you're not allowed to eat anything after the Afikayman. This exerim of the Rabbana, he may forget, he'll eat, and he'll forget to say the second half of the Hallel after the meal. So that's why they made a din de Rabbana, and you're not allowed to eat anything, and after Achat Pesach, Afikayman, how long? So we usually say, till you go to sleep. You should go to sleep with Tam Matzah B'Fiv. So, or Tam Korban Pesach B'Fiv. So So the Baal HaMor says, no, you're not allowed to eat anything until you recite the second half of the Halal. After you said the second half of the Halal, then you can eat, because Zunta Hate, we're afraid. If you're going to allow him to eat after the Afikoman, after the Korban Pesach, and the Korban Pesach is eaten before the benching, then he may forget to say the end of the Halal with the fourth kais. Fourth kais is always recited over the second half of the Halal. That's the pirush that the Baal HaMor has, a historical interpretation, that the reason why Eim Aftiren Achad Pesach Afikoman, Kadesh Yehei Tam Pesach Befiv, when Befiv? When Befiv? Until after he finishes the Halal. After he finishes the Halal, goes on to eat. You want to have whatever you want. You can eat, drink, and be merry. But until after he finishes the Halal, and he said, Nishmas Kochai, the Bichas Hashir, so then we say he shouldn't eat anything else. At the Kadesh Yehei Tam Pesach Befiv, Tam Matzah Befiv, that'll remind him that he has to say about the Parsha that's for Shmira. Okay, but we should all be healthy to enjoy the Yontif and all the Dikdukim and the Seder. And we should all have Simchas. I was in Eretz Yisrael. We had one granddaughter got married and one grandson became Bar Mitzvah and another granddaughter became a Kallah. She got engaged when we were there. So we should all share Mitzvahs.
Amen.
Mazel Tov. Mazel
Tov. Thank you so much for coaching some ass.
Amen.
Right.